Welcome to episode 111 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live January 18, 2019. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. Today, at the request of a listener, Scott and Ben jump on a call to talk about cloud voice in Office 365 and the intricacies involved and options available. Ben here just wanted to jump in with a quick correction to some details around SharePoint Online Recycle Bins that were discussed in episode 108 and to clarify a couple of things. In this case, it was based on how long items are in the recycle bins and how they count against site quotas. First, items remain in the recycle bin for 93 days. They will not automatically go to the second stage recycle bin unless someone deletes them from the first site. So they could stay in that first stage for the entire 93 days that items are in a recycle bin. And as for quotas, the first stage recycle bin does count against your site quota. However, the second stage recycle bin does not count against your quota, but rather it has its own quota, which is 200% of the site collection quota. So we'll include a link to the documentation around this in the show notes for this episode. Now, on with a regularly scheduled episode.
You're all grounded. You're all set. Caffeine is hitting.
I'm grounded. Caffeine is hitting. I got my exercise this morning.
Exercise? What's that? I thought you were an IT pro.
I am an IT pro, but I started exercising this year.
Just this year, huh?
Just this year. Maybe next year I'll go back on that.
Yeah, don't worry. Resolutions go away pretty quick.
But it's not a resolution. It's a goal.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, because... Okay, so they actually are different if you go read a bunch of stuff. But yes, I did start exercising. 3 days a week, I'm getting up and riding the exercise bike.
Wow.
Yeah, look at me.
You should just do what I do and get a bunch of dogs and go on lots of walks.
And chase dogs. Well, I combine the bike with chasing kids. I chase kids instead of dogs.
Gotcha.
Because my kids are still at that age where as soon as I hit the floor, they're like, "Daddy, chase me," or they run and jump on my back, or yes, any number of things to get my heart rate up.
Yeah, well, it's all like herding cats. And you know what else is like herding cats?
What is else is like herding cats? Herding dogs?
No, trying to figure out voice options in the cloud with Microsoft Teams.
Voice in the cloud. Our voice is in the cloud, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about? Hosting my voice in the cloud?
That's it. Something cloudy.
Yeah, so can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you make my cell phone bill cheaper, though?
Yes. Get lots of people on a single plan.
Is that it?
And then split it.
Gotcha.
That is it. I have 9 people on my cell phone plan, and we all split the cost. And by bundling it, because you get so much data with those first 2 people, and then it incrementally is like the increments jump up less and less as you add on more and more people. So we're able to get by with like 20-ish, I think, 20 gigs for about 9 people. And if everybody splits the cost, it ends up being significantly cheaper per person.
20 gigs for 9 people. I go through 20 gigs on my own.
Well, we discovered the problem. The problem is not the cell phone and the bill. The problem is how much data you use on your cell phone.
So the problem is the people or just me?
The problem is the people. Yes.
As the leading global brand for enabling the Microsoft Cloud, Obsgility's global Microsoft MVP and multi-certified cloud solutions architect team has authored over 20 mock courses, the Microsoft Pressbook Implementing Azure Solutions 70-533, and numerous Microsoft Cloud Practice Playbooks for Microsoft partners. And for a limited time, you can get your team certified in the most exciting cloud business today with a 25% discount off instructor-led training prep courses for Azure and Microsoft 365. Visit obsgility.com/Microsoft Cloud to learn more. That's obsgility.com/Microsoft Cloud.
Anyways, that is not the voice we are talking about today. We are going to talk about Office 365 voice and the plethora of options and licensing configurations and the confusion that can be Office 365 voice.
Yeah, it can be a little bit rough out there. And I think it gets rough even just based on the way you started with Office 365 voice, because there's Office 365, there's Microsoft 365, and then there's all of our on-premises components, which may or may not have voice tied into them and may or may not be involved in the Office ecosystem, and kind of how we put all that together and get everything into a nice mesh that comes together and works. So if we're thinking about voice in Office 365, kind of where do we go to get started, or what do we start thinking about for features and functionality?
So the first thing that I think is, even before you get to the licensing, so I'm going to start even before you get to the licensing and the features and what's available, is the whole Teams versus Skype thing. So Microsoft is taking more and more of those voice features out of Skype for Business and into Teams. So the very first decision you really do have to make when you're thinking voice is the whole Skype for Business versus Teams. I would argue that at this point in time, just take Skype for Business off the table. People still refer to voice and Skype for Business when they talk phones and some of that. They still talk Skype for Business. It is all Teams now.
Yeah. So, well, just to be clear, take it off the table if you're not on it. But if you're on it,
you've got some other
considerations and some other things to think about.
Yes. And how you plan that migration, because eventually you're going to have to migrate over to that Teams client off Skype for Business if you're already on it. So for those of you that maybe aren't doing voice yet or just getting started with voice, just go straight to Teams. All the calling features that you will need are in Microsoft Teams. They've combined the management of Skype for Business and Teams into the single admin center now for all the voice features. So personally, I do use voice with Office 365 and I use Teams. I don't actually fire up my Skype for Business client anymore. I was just thinking the other day, I think I can actually uninstall it. So I think that's the first thing. And then once you get past Teams, it really is what type of voice calling, or when you think calling with Microsoft Teams, what do you mean? So there's multiple options when you get into it. And you want to hit like the kind of what I see as the three options and then go dive into each one a little bit more?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the first one is just kind of that inner org or even federated voice. So this is, Scott, you and I work for the same organization. I go into Teams, I click make a voice call. I can call you, I can talk to you. We can have that conversation. We hang up the phone, we're done. Or conversely, we're in different organizations and it's federated. I go find your contact information. And again, this is not using a phone number, but just using your email address, your UPN, that Office 365 username, and I click make a call and it calls you. We can chat as two organizations that are federated. So different companies, different domains, but both on Teams or Skype for Business. Again, we can just have that phone call, hang up when we're done.
Yeah. It gets a little confusing because when you say inner org and phone, I don't immediately jump to just a straight VoIP call. I maybe think, you know, yes, we might be routing the call over the internet, but it could be inter-org in the sense of I just dial an extension. So can I do extension-based direct routing versus hopping out and maybe going, like you said, and clicking somebody's name and then calling them that way? So am I calling via a SIP address, or am I actually going through a phone system? Is a little bit of weirdness that comes into play with that one. So really you're right. Talking about, hey, I'm just chatting with somebody and then I'm hopping into a voice conversation, but it's not necessarily a phone call, right? It's all just IP communication. And
yeah, right. It's just that IP, just using that SIP. It's not going through any type of phone system or has any phone features whatsoever. It's simply click a button, talk, click a button to end the conversation. So that's the first one. The next one would be kind of making those same types of calls. So at this point in time, you still don't have a phone number. You just have that SIP address, that email address. But now you want to add on things like having voicemails or being able to actually like do a call transfer from one person in your org to another person in your org. Add on kind of what you just referred to, Scott, those phone system type features. But at this point in time, you still don't have a phone number. You don't have that 10-digit, 11-digit, if you're including the country code, phone number. It's still just using that email address, but you introduce more of those features that you would think of that are on a typical phone or within a typical phone system. And then kind of that last level is taking that the next step and actually assigning yourself a phone number, being able to call other phone numbers, going back to now you're just the normal, what you're used to phone system where you're dialing a phone number, you can call somebody, somebody can dial the phone number, call you. So those are kind of the three different levels of voice that I consider in Office 365. You could get into some of the hybrid stuff as well, but at its core, you have those three levels of voice, and the licensing and configuration for how all of those work is where it can start getting really kind of confusing.
Just a little bit when it comes to that side of things. So really, you know, like you said, one of those first rationalization points is what type of calling do you want to make in the cloud? Do you just need to do just VoIP without a phone number, or do you need to be able to dial phone numbers? And then not only do you need to be able to dial phone numbers, do you want to be able to receive calls from over the internet back to a device or a soft phone or something else via a phone number that's assigned to you?
Exactly. And then what types of phone features do you need? Because there's even different licensing in there.
I would kind of, like you said, let's leave licensing outside of this one, because licensing is its own little bit of craziness when it comes to this. Just assume for anything that we're talking about, there's additional licensing that's associated with it. You may or may not already have that. You've got to go look that part up and see if that feature is available. Really, we can then that way we can just focus on the features.
All right. So the first one that we talked about, where it's literally just click a button, have a voice conversation. I'll try to differentiate. I'm not even going to say phone call because it's not a phone call. It's just, like you said, a voice conversation. That one, and I will bring in licensing here a little bit just because that's included with all the features or all the licenses that have Teams. There's nothing special you have to do other than have that Teams license or that Skype for Business license, E3, E5, E1, business plans. All of those just give you that ability to make those voice calls, have those voice conversations with other people in your organization or federated users. And again, like we said, there's not really any features that are included in that one other than that ability to do voice and actually to have voice and video calls.
Which is pretty basic, right? We're going to go ahead, deploy the client, and we're going to make sure that the feature is enabled from a license side of things. And we might do some tweaking of configuration within our tenancy on that side, right? So if we want to, you mentioned external chat there and being able to go that way. Well, we've got to go and turn on external access for that Teams organization within that Office 365 tenancy. But once you've got that up and running and everything's deployed, theoretically, it just kind of works, right? There's ports and protocols and other things, yeah, but pretty easy to get onboarded with and get started with.
Yeah, from a pure onboarding admin configuration side of it, I actually consider this one the easiest. Like you said, there's some DNS entries you'd have to make, which you have for everything. There's some settings you can configure, like that internal, external. But by and large, you license Skype, and everything's just going to work. You can go in and start using all those features right away. And even from that admin perspective, they're getting more, but there's not a ton of configuration that's required right off the bat for those voice features. Again, because there's not a lot of features there to configure. The next one, and this is when you bring in all those features, is this phone system. So this is that idea that it used to be called, I think they used to call it Cloud PBX. They recently switched it to phone system. Either way, whatever you want to call it, this gives you all those traditional PBX capabilities that you would have in a phone system, thus the phone system or Cloud PBX. So that gives you a bunch of those features, things like auto attendance, which is you dial the phone number, pick up the phone, and you get a routing. Push one for this, push two for that. It's outside of business hours. Here's a voicemail, or here's a recorded message. And what you have to think of, too, is it gives you a lot of these features, but the phone system doesn't actually mean you have a phone number. So you can do phone system and not actually have any of those PSTN numbers incoming and outgoing, phone calls to a traditional phone number. It's just lighting up the features that may or may not be associated with a phone number. So you may just be doing all of this within your organization. Some of them do get a little goofy in terms of how well you could actually use them, like the auto attendants, because without a phone number to assign to the auto attendant, you're not going to have a whole lot of options there. But other ones do work. So call forwarding. If you want to forward your call to another user or simultaneously ring different people, different devices, what else is in here? Call queues.
It includes all your kind of traditional phone stuff, right?
So right. Device switching. This is where you get your voicemail.
Transfer. So being able to transfer calls either to other phones or from device to device. That can be a big one, right? Like maybe I pick up a call on my mobile device and then I go sit down at my desk and I have my approved physical phone on my desk and I want to transfer the call to that. So things like that start to come into play as well.
Music on hold is in here. Again, the voicemail. So if you want to have a voicemail, people click your name in Skype for Business and Teams. They start a voice call and you're not there. They can get a voicemail. They can leave you a message. You can go listen to that voicemail later. So all of those types of features that you would think, okay, this takes my simple voice calling and adds on phone type features that I would see within a typical phone system, a typical PBX system. So that's what this phone system is and what's included with that. And this does get into a lot more, brings up a lot more configuration options because you start thinking about things like auto attendance, numbers to push, how you're going to configure that, what are the hours the company is open, what's going to happen at different times if someone would call you. Some of the call forwarding, music on hold. If you want to have music on hold, you have to configure that. The phone queue. So think like a help desk, service desk, where phone numbers go into queue and people can grab them off the queue. There's going to be some configuration there. There's definitely a lot more as you add more and more features onto this whole voice aspect of Office 365. You do have more and more configuration and more things you need to think about when you get into the various, as you layer these plans on top of each other.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a touch. When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT. And then we'll jump into, so you have your base license, you have an E3, you have an E5. I am going to get into licensing, Scott. Sorry.
Way to blow it.
Yep, I'm going to blow it. You said no. I said yes. I overruled you. E5s include the phone system. So E3s, just that basic voice calling. If you do get an E5, it's going to include this phone system license. If you just have an E3, you can buy the phone system license to get all these features. And then the final thing is the PSTN calling. So this is the concept. I have a phone number, 532-695-1312. I don't think that's probably somebody's phone number. Somebody dial that. See who that is.
867-5309.
Yeah, I just made up a bunch of numbers. You have that phone number. You want people to be able to call that phone number. You want to be able to call people by dialing their cell phone number or their office number. That is the PSTN license, and that is a license that actually lays on top of the phone system. So you cannot have that PSTN license, get that phone number, without first having that phone system license. And this is an additional license based on if you want to make domestic calls or if you want to make domestic and international calls. There's a couple different options there, but that's that final license that gives you those phone numbers. Or again, if you're a company and you want to have a corporate phone number and route that into something like an auto attendant or something like a call queue. That's that whole PSTN dialing. And now I'm drawing a blank. You get so many system numbers per every user number, I believe is the way they license that.
It's a little weird. So I just want to take a step back because you went down the licensing rabbit hole. So when you do get into this, it does become a little bit strange because like you said, you go into that E5 and then all of a sudden, oh, cool, I've got Cloud PBX, but you don't actually have all of the other PSTN features until you go and figure out that additive license for if you want to do domestic, international dial, all those other kinds of things. So it can start to run away from you pretty quick. So it's not just the configuration of these systems. It's kind of like everything else in the cloud, right? With all these SaaS systems that we get into, you really need to understand your requirements per user because we're talking about per user entitlements and functionality here. So if Ben and I work together and I don't ever need to call anyone internationally, but Ben lives in Florida and he does sales in Europe, he's going to be making some international calls. He's going to need some different licensing and a little bit of a different configuration side of things. But as far as the tenant features, we'll kind of all have access to the same stuff.
Exactly. And the whole, I'm not going to go too far down the PSTN rabbit hole, because once you get into licensing for that, like you said, it gets really goofy, especially when you start calculating international things, international calls, how many you need to make, because you can get international calls or you can use something called calling credits, communication credits, they renamed it.
Communication credits, yes.
Yes, which essentially gives you like a bucket of per minute or a bucket of credits that you can deduct from if you want to make a call outside of your area, if you want to have outgoing calling in your meeting. So people connect to the meeting, they say, hey, call my cell phone instead of them dialing into the meeting. You can use communication credits for that. We'll put links to the show notes to the whole communication credits and some of the licensing. But to your point, when you get into some of that PSTN calling, and am I calling domestically? Am I calling internationally? How much am I calling internationally? Where am I calling internationally? And even availability of phone numbers. So there's a lot of availability of different area codes in the US. You get to certain countries and you cannot get a local phone number to that country.
There's a couple of things that come into play, and I'm glad you touched on that one. So if you're a business that just does business in the US, it's pretty easy. Coverage is pretty good. If you're in parts of Europe, awesome. It's great. You're starting to get to like Central, South America, Africa, parts of Asia, things like that. It breaks down pretty quick. So we're talking about having Microsoft effectively become your phone company for these users. And Microsoft doesn't have the capabilities of local phone companies that are going to be available someplace else. So you may or may not be able to transfer phone numbers for your users. You may or may not, like you said, be able to get a phone number in the area code you want. And that always changes over time too. So it's a system where you both gain and lose the ability sometimes to get phone numbers in those areas, depending on what's going on. And that's a big frustration, or it has been for me in the past when I've been working with organizations, particularly that are doing business internationally and kind of have that business presence all over the place, is availability of these phone numbers breaks down really fast in Microsoft land. And they're always getting better at it, but it's not, you know, it's not like going to a traditional telco in that sense.
Right. Because like you said, Microsoft is your telco. So it's not like they just go say, hey, let's go create some phone numbers in this country. They have to have all that infrastructure in place, everything in place to essentially become a telco in all those different countries, different areas, have those phone numbers available to essentially sell you. So it does. And it doesn't mean you couldn't do PSTN calling or set up all of these voice features. It just means your phone number might not be representative of the exact area or country that you're actually sitting in.
Which can be like a big one. Again, we'll go back to like that salesperson, right? So if you're a salesperson and you are in Brazil, and that's where you sell, you're really going to want a phone number that's in Brazil, right? So your clients can call that and get in. You don't want them calling you on a US phone number or something else that's sitting off on the side. So there's options there, right? You can certainly, because we're talking PBX and being able to kind of trunk systems together and get everything tied, you can do it. It's just more of a pain. You're not going to have a single provider in that case to carry you all the way through.
Yep. You do have some configuration when you're looking at with your phone numbers. So I just went to the former Skype for Business Admin Center because that's still where you do all your voice configuration. And I got a 500 error.
Under maintenance. It's okay.
Oops. Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. So when you get into some of that licensing too with phone numbers, you do also have two different types of phone numbers. And this is where I think it's 5 service phone numbers for every 1 user phone number, but you get, in essence, user phone numbers in Skype, and you have service phone numbers in Skype. So user phone numbers are exactly that. They're phone numbers for your user. You go in and say, Ben has this user phone number. And you go in and say, Scott has this user phone number. Well, then you may also have things like those auto attendants and call queues and conference bridges for your meetings. Those are service phone numbers. So you can go in and essentially say, hey, I need a new phone number. I need it to be a service phone number. You'll get so many of those. And those are those numbers that you use to then attach to something like an auto attendant. So that when somebody calls, it's a whole press 1 for sales, press 2 for support, press 3 for customer relations, whatever it may be. So you do have to even pay attention to that as, what phone numbers do I want? What service phone numbers do I want? How are these all configured? How are they attached? How do they route? As well as, do you have existing numbers you want to port in? Because Microsoft also does support porting phone numbers in. So the phone number I have in Skype for Business, I actually ported over from, I don't even know where it started originally. It's been ported about 4 different times now. I think the last time I ported it, I actually ported it from the commercial Skype or the personal Skype. I had a phone number in there. I ported it into Skype for Business and I'm leveraging it there. So you can take those external numbers, move them in, but you do have to think about that configuration and making sure you can get all those numbers in. You can set them as service numbers, user numbers, and what number goes where and how many of all of them you have.
So another big one there, so you can do full and partial port transfers. So go ahead and transfer everything under maybe an existing billing account with your existing telco and bring all that over. Or you can bring over individual numbers as well. The porting requests are fine. Microsoft is not able to execute porting requests in every geo that they offer phone numbers in. So you might be able to provision phone numbers for your users. I'll go back to kind of South and Central America because that was my experience with it. You might be able to provision a phone number for that user down there, but if they have an existing phone number, oh, well, they lose it because I can't port it over because those telcos don't port between each other, which is kind of annoying. And then another big one I've noticed as well that gets into it is fax. So there's really no great solution for fax, at least that I'm aware of. You might know of something because it's all kind of third party and tied in. So you can take like a dedicated fax line today and you could port it over into Office 365, but then you would lose all the incoming fax capabilities on that number. So if you're still going to have incoming fax in your organization, you're still going to have another telco or something else on the side because you're still going to need those phone numbers. So it's a little bit of a weird world to be in if you need that feature or that capability.
Yeah, who uses faxes anymore, Scott?
You'd be amazed.
Yeah, I probably would be. Yes, I am not aware of any solution for faxes whatsoever in Office 365. So, like you said, keep an eye out. Be aware of those.
Yep. So now we're back to requirements, right? Because you might go to that one office and they go, hey, we accept incoming fax. Well, crap, I can move all your phone numbers over for all my users, but I still need a traditional landline or traditional presence for maybe this other thing. That's this one device that's going to sit there.
Yeah. So one last couple topics. How's that for an oxymoron? One last two topics. They kind of tie together is another one that I heard come up a lot originally and Microsoft has since taken care of is the whole idea of a common area phone. A phone that sits on a warehouse floor that isn't necessarily assigned to a single user, or something like a conference room where maybe it's not a single user using the phone all the time, but it's a conference room phone that anybody comes in, uses that phone all the time. And then it's the whole soft phone versus physical phone. So kind of go together. Microsoft does have common area phone licenses available now. So you can put that phone on a warehouse floor, put it somewhere where, again, it describes itself, that common area where it's not a single user's phone, and do that. And then it can be physical devices. There's a few different companies that are now creating the, I think it's essentially certified for Teams. They used to have certified Skype for Business. There are some third parties that create those physical phones. So one thing I have heard is, maybe it's the receptionist, someone that takes a lot of phone calls, that does a lot of transfers, puts a lot of people on hold. They want more of that typical phone functionality, the whole multiple lines, being able to do transfers on a physical phone, that type of thing. You can get physical phones, sign them into Teams, Skype for Business, and still have a very physical, traditional type phone or type experience while using the whole cloud PBX voice system in Office 365. So if that does come up, again, you have options. Microsoft is continuing to expand the whole cloud offering, grow the cloud PBX. It won't always give you all of the options of a full-fledged on-premises PBX system, but they are getting better at it and do give you lots of those various options.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things to think about there too. So if you're an existing Skype for Business customer and you've deployed maybe desk phones, those phones are probably going to be, you know, depending on how old they are or how new they are, they might be okay and certified and ready to go for Teams. If you're on some other VoIP system today, it's really going to be hit or miss whether those devices are going to come over. So you've got to decide, do we want to keep those devices? Or if a user like that secretary has a desk phone today, do we want to keep that person on a desk phone? Or do we want to transition that user maybe over to a headset and a soft phone, right? Just using the Teams client or whatever it happens to be, and then having a really nice headset to go with it. So yep, there's a little bit that goes into that. So when you're thinking about devices, that's going to be headsets, speaker phones, desk phones, and desk phones includes just single phones in a room. But rooms can be more than that. They can be full, because ultimately we're talking about like a unified communication system here. So it can be way more. It could be a full room system. So think something maybe that has like a tracking camera. It has, you know, the speaker phone sitting in the middle of the room. It's able to grab all your meetings and all those kinds of things and figure it out. Or just maybe thinking about like cameras as separate devices as well. Because we kind of focused on voice calling, but you can do voice with video with these systems too.
Right. The whole room systems. And you can do cool things. Mobile devices are another one. We didn't talk about that a whole lot, but you do have your Teams client, which gives you that ability to make, receive phone calls within Teams on your mobile device if you want to do that. The other thing you can do, and I actually have it set up on mine, is a simultaneous ring. Or if you don't answer, it rings to another device. So my Teams, if you call my phone number associated with Office 365, associated with Teams, it simultaneously actually rings my cell phone number. So if Teams is shut down, if I am logged into another tenant as a guest, which is a whole nother issue that I could dive into. It rings on my cell phone and I can answer it on my cell phone and take it just like a normal call on my cell phone, even though the call came in through Teams. So lots of features, lots of functionality there around, hey, I don't want to be tied just to this Teams client. You don't have to. You can do it on mobile devices. You can do some things with simultaneous rings, with call forwarding, all of that type of stuff as well when it comes to different mobile devices and phone numbers.
Suffice to say, it can be done, but it might be a little bit more painful than you thought it was going to be.
Yes. So hopefully that gives everybody a good overview of voice and phone system features and all the calling functionality in Office 365 without confusing you more.
Well, I think we scratched the surface, so we made it through.
Yes.
That.
If anybody has any questions about this or any other topic, let us know. This actually came from a question. Somebody on Reddit I was chatting with was like, hey, can you do a voice episode? Sure, why not? We'll dive into it. So yeah, if anybody has any questions, topics you want us to cover, let us know and we will delve into it. We could talk about Delve. If you like that.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, Scott, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, cool. Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.